I don't know what you should do, Mike.
I think I'd rather take a bullet in the head.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I don't know what to say. Felger
and Mass. The Beyond Dumb 2 to 6 show, yeah. Right?
Jackpot!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anybody who wears mirrored sunglasses, tool bag. It's a dead giveaway. Tool, automatic tool bag. Tell me, have you ever seen someone wear mirrored sunglasses? Walk around, don't you look at them and go, tool. Am I wrong?
You also said he looked like your brother-in-law?
Yeah, he does. He looks like my brother-in-law, who's a handsome fella, except fatter. He's fatter than my brother-in-law. And truth be told, my brother-in-law's put on a couple of pounds, and he's still fatter than my brother-in-law.
I said he looks like the HVAC guy. But something along
same
those...
deal. What's the diff?
And I love your typical ham and egger, baby.
He's a ham and egger. Yeah.
Look, and I love the Poland Springs guy. Don't get me
wrong.
And
my HVAC guy's tremendous.
But I just don't want him coaching the Patriots, or for that matter, the Jaguars.
What is he as a coach? Can you tell me?
I don't know yet.
But he's been in the league. He was in Buffalo for 2 years, so we saw him for 4 full games in Buffalo. This is now his first full season in Jacksonville. He's been around. He's coached 50 NFL games, over 50, including the playoffs. So it's not like he's just been here for 5 minutes. He's been in the league here for a little bit. Tell me what he is. Is he a motivator? Is he an X and O guy? Is he... what is he?
I don't know what his calling card is, whether it was here, Syracuse, Buffalo, whatever it is.
I don't know what he is.
Okay, but he's never really been on the biggest stage for us to know what he is.
He's in division, though, and I can tell you what most of these divisional coaches were. Like, I can tell you, like, Dick Geron felt to me like an X and O guy. And
Wade Phillips, defense.
Wade Phillips was defense. Rex was a defensive brain and a huge mouth and a stupid slug everywhere else. And, like, I can tell you an identity. Todd Bowles, to me, feels like sort of an understated, quiet leader. I don't know if he can coach, but he doesn't feel like an X and O guy to me, but he feels like sort of an understated locker room guy. I mean, I can just, you know, this Adam Gase is a technical offensive guy, what it feels like to me, not a leader of men, but, I can give you an identity of most of these coaches in the division. I can't. What is Marone?
No, I'm sorry, Murray. I look at Marone and I think the same thing I would think of Mike Mularkey.
Exactly. Mike Mularkey and Mike Munchak. Just lumps. Like, what exactly do you do here?
Now, that said, didn't he have a winning record in Buffalo?
He did.
Well, last year he was 9-7, but you know how he got to 9-7? He beat you in week 17 when you played Garoppolo over half the game. Remember that throwaway game against Buffalo?
Okay, so if he were 8-8, like, is that an indictment?
No, but
in that market with that team,
yeah.
I'm just telling you, I don't know yet. I'll keep the jury out on him. I don't know yet.
So I listened to some of Marone's press conference yesterday, and there were a couple things that came out that when it happened, I went, that doesn't sound right. So let me just give you some examples. He likes to tell jokes or be jokey, which sort of, I don't know, maybe I'm just too used to Bill, or I don't know, it just feels like, well, why are you telling jokes? What? So he was given some answer yesterday, and I'll just start small, but this was just the first thing I said, but why are you doing that? This is, he's talking about players stepping up for other injured players, something like this.
Well, the last 2 days when I've been going through a lot of stuff, you know, and then I was watching, I remember Chris Reed being in there and Shatley being in there and, you know, all the different, you know, players, you know, it brings me back to a point of, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're ready, prepared, that, you know, when someone taps you on the shoulder, you know, you're ready to go so you don't live with that with regret. You know, and I think our players have done a good job. That's not my saying. I think it's Churchill or something like that. But anyway, I'm just saying, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be like, ooh, that's pretty intelligent. No, I've read that somewhere.
Okay, I don't know. I heard that, like, all right, okay, fine. Then
like that, but anyway, I think I'm just saying, I'm not, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to be like, oh, that's pretty intelligent.
So there was more. So we played this yesterday, the thing about leaning on Tom Coughlin. Do you lean on Tom Coughlin in times like this?
Will you lean on Tom any more this week than you would any other week because you're playing a team that he's had some success against and a coach that he's done well against?
I've leaned on Coach pretty good from day one, so... You know, I don't think I can lean on him anymore because I'm a big guy, and if I lean on him, it might hurt him a little bit.
Why are we telling jokes? You're in the AFC Championship game. Like, not everyone has to be Bill, but I don't get why you're telling jokes.
Well, he's the polar opposite. There's self-deprecation. There's humility there. You hate fun in sports, so I'm not surprised that you don't like any of this. I think he's a hoot.
I'm not into fun. He was asked... Okay, so now we're going to get a little more serious. He was asked, what stands out about Coughlin's 2 Super Bowl wins over the Patriots? What stands out? Again, Coughlin beat the Patriots twice in huge games. What stands out from those games, Doug?
Your memory of those two Super Bowls, what stands out for you most when you see the way that that Tom's team was able to prevail against Bill on the big stage?
I haven't watched them. Seriously.
Really?
If I'm not in it, I don't usually
watch it at the time?
If I'm not in the Super Bowl, I usually don't watch it.
Doug, sticking with Tom, though.
Unless I have to. I'm sorry. But David Tyree made a great catch. He's a Syracuse guy.
Again, with the little yippy joke. They're little grab-ass jokes. But the thing is, I haven't watched it. If I'm not in it, I'm not watching it. And he was talking specifically with the Super Bowl, but if you're Doug Marrone, why would you not watch games in which someone had a good game plan against the Patriots?
Well, wouldn't you watch him from this year?
Wouldn't you watch him? Do you think Bill only limits himself to games that happened this year?
God, no.
Bill goes back and watches coordinator versus coordinator in past year. Bill watches everything. All good coaches watch everything. You have research assistants who go say, yeah, this coordinator, someone played this coordinator 3 years ago in a divisional game and had a good game plan against him. Go break that out. Go show me that. And Marrone says, I don't watch games I'm not in?
Yeah, that line was indefensible.
That's a red flag, man.
Yeah, it was 6 years ago.
I would watch the crap out of that game if I'm the Jaguars this week.
There's a blueprint there. Why wouldn't you watch those games?
Because, you know, in terms of the blueprint part of it, what players are we talking about? Who's on the field then?
A good defensive line? I don't know. You just look at the game plan.
Is Joe Tooney playing?
You wouldn't go watch those games?
I don't think I'd spend a ton of time on him. No.
Oh, my God.
And I wouldn't.
And I think the flippant manner in which he says it, I don't watch games. If I'm in, I don't watch it. Red flag. Red flag to me. To beat the Patriots, you got to come up with something. And I don't know, it feels to me like a good way to come up with something is to watch others who came up with something.
Yeah, well, I find some of the other stuff kind of funny. This, that reeks of laziness. Like, ugh, oh man, watching tape. Ugh, I don't want to do that.
Let me give you another example. Jimmy, skip one. He's asked about the Patriots' red zone defense. So they have a good red zone defense, the Patriots do. He's asked about this. This is Wednesday's press conference. They ask him about it on Wednesday. Go ahead.
What stands out to you about the Patriots' red zone defense?
What about him?
What stands out to you about when you're sunning them up?
No, I'm not on red zone yet. I'm not. Yeah, come on, Thursday. You can ask me that question Thursday.
I'm not on red zone yet. Ask me on Thursday. What? He hasn't looked at the Patriots in the red zone yet? He hasn't looked at the Patriots in the red zone yet.
Yeah, another one that reeks of laziness.
This is so I'm tying it to the Super Bowl thing. I think it's part of the same thing.
Or he's lying.
I don't feel like he's lying.
Yeah, I'm not tying it to the Super Bowl thing. I told you. What are they going to learn about Joe Tooney watching a game from 2007?
I think a guy who's not going to watch, who's not up on the Patriots in the red zone, is not going to bother watching past games because it's just not in his nature.
Yeah, both of those clips to me reek of, man, watching tape's a grind. Ugh, I hate doing that.
Totally.
You know?
Again, this is unbelievable. Tell me about the Patriots. If you ask Belichick or most coaches, the Patriots rank high in the red zone. I don't even know where they are, but they're bend but don't break. It's a calling card. It's like a huge part of their success. They allow yards but not points. So it's like a huge. It's like it's how you beat the Patriots. It's like a key part of the whole thing. Tell us about it, Doug. What do you think about it? I'm not on it yet. I get to that on Thursday. What? This is what I feel this guy is, Maz. I don't feel he's detail-oriented enough. I don't feel he's on it enough. I don't feel he has the command enough. Even if Brady has a broken thumb. You have to have a clue. You have to have come in here prepared. He's not going to watch the Super Bowls in which you were beat. And he waits till Thursday. What was he doing on Monday?
Yeah, their only hope here is that old man Coughlin hears this. What? No, you're getting in front of this television. You're watching all these tapes, damn it. You know, like the whip has to be cracked here.
So, and
look, the red zone thing I can't speak for. The 07 Super Bowl, he's really going to get something out of that?
I think it's possible, for sure.
10 years ago.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you hand it off to an assistant, Maz, and say, hey, watch this. Let me know if you get any tendencies or you see something with Brady there and get back to me. Have someone else, but at least do your due diligence.
Yeah, the Super Bowl in 07 to me is not going to tell him anything. Is it just my two cents? Now, you want to talk about, you know, the red zone thing? Fine. Like, that one I don't get either.
Yeah,
You'd like to think he had a clue.
If I'm a coach, I'm looking at tape of any time the Patriots lost, because it doesn't happen very often. I'm looking at all of them.
2005?
You bet. Absolutely. Absolutely. At least when Josh was here. Maybe you narrow it down to Josh games. But either way, I'm looking. I'm not in it. I'm not watching it. What about the red zone? I get to that on Thursday. What? This is a ham and egg team with a ham and egg coach. This is a ham and bologna and egg. Bologna. So this is what he's known for.
Bologna and cheese.
He beats the Chargers by three. He beats the Chargers by three. And he's so spent. He's such a mental case. This is what you get out of it.
I'm exhausted right now. Yeah, I'm shot. Like, I'm shot. You know, I always say the story is that, you know, when I first came up and I was an offensive line coach, I'm just living each play with those five players. You know what I mean? You know, if a receiver was to drop a ball, I'm focusing on those five. And then when you're the offensive coordinator, you know, you're living with 11 guys out there, okay? And that's it. So I'll never forget my first time as a head coach. After the game was over, I said, holy cow, I'm exhausted. Twice as exhausted
as
I was a coordinator.
Stop,
or a
Jimmy, position. Stop. He's overwhelmed by having to coach 22 guys versus five. You hear him. He's like about to have a nervous breakdown coaching a whole team. This is what I'm telling you. He's not ready for this. He's not. And I'm basing it largely on just what I've gone back and listened to, but I think you can pick things up. He's going to pieces over a 3-point win over the Chargers in October. Continue, Jimmy. I'm sorry. Pick it up right there.
Coach, you know, I'm going through every damn play, offense, defense, and special teams. I'm living and dying, you know, in every single play, you know, with every call that we have. And what's – sorry about that sponsor. But every play and call I have, you know what I mean? And so after the game's over, I am shot. I can tell you right now, I'm going to take a shower. We'll have the medical report later on, okay? I'm going to take the shower, all right? I'll call my wife, meet me at home, pick up some bologna and cheese. I'm going to go out the back way, all right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to listen to some music. Don't listen to the NFL. Don't listen to scores or anything like that. Go home, pet my dogs because we won, all right? And then I'm just going to... Yeah, it's not as fun as, you know, it's not like, woohoo, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know?
This guy's not beating the Patriots. I don't care who your quarterback is.
I still find that very entertaining. That's just short of like the Jim Tom Sula cutting a gasser when he was doing that press conference when he was the head coach of the Niners a couple of years ago. Like, he's like that. So I find that funny, but he does sound like a boob.
Oh, he does sound like a boob. I'll grant you the boob thing. I'm just, if I'm him, I'm not spending time watching the 2007 Super Bowl.
I'm watching everything I can. I'm watching everything I can, and then I'm watching it again. He's overwhelmed having to coach 22 guys versus five on the offensive line. He ain't ready for this moment, folks. He ain't. Maybe Coughlin is. This guy's not. You're not losing to this guy. I don't care if Tom Brady has his hand amputated.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet.
From 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going to go in. I'm going to take a shower. We'll have the medical report later on. Okay? I'm going to take the shower. All right? I'll call my wife, meet me at home, pick up some bologna and cheese. I'm going to go out the back way, all right? I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive home. I'm going to listen to some music. Don't listen to the NFL. Don't listen to scores or anything like that. Go home, pet my dogs because we won, all right? And then I'm just going to – yeah, it's not as fun as – you know, it's not like, woohoo, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know?
Doug Marrone. Does it make you feel better listening to Doug Marrone, Murray?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it should. Listen to this one. I don't know when this is from, but I just, you know, was doing my show prep and I was just tooling around the internet trying to find Doug Marrone sound. And I came across this. Listen to this. He's in Buffalo. Okay. I don't know when this is or what game this is or what, or if it's even a game. I don't know. This is just Doug Marrone as head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
But when you make a point of something and coaches make a point of it and coaches make a point of it, when that first opportunity comes and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again, maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
Oh, he's a gem.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency.
He really is every ham and egger.
Okay, that's pretty good.
You're not losing to this guy. You're not losing to this guy. I don't care if Pat Patriot goes in and plays quarterback. You're not losing. Doug Marone's not ready for this moment. He's not this kind of coach. He's not.
Maybe he's an idiot savant.
But what's he a savant at? I'm giving away Patriots tickets in a few minutes here, so I haven't forgotten you. But what's his savant?
Like, I have no idea.
What's his, calling? What is he?
I have no idea. I have no idea. All I know is that he's got a winning record in the league and he's 10-6 with this team. That's all I know. That's it. Does that mean he's great? Of course not. No, I have no clue.
Maybe the likability and relatability factor to him. Maybe guys want to play for him harder. I don't know. I mean, didn't Pedard say he's well liked throughout the league by other coaches?
Maybe. I have no idea.
So maybe that's what it is.
So what does
but
that
still,
mean?
What does that mean?
Right. Yeah, I think I'd like to have a beer with him.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah, no, I think he's hysterical. Like that's even inadvertently. And then so someone else, an ESPN reporter followed up because this baloney thing is apparently like a fun story down in Jacksonville. And the man will literally eat trash, too. He'll eat it if it goes bad. He was asked, how can you eat baloney? And Marone said, I always like baloney because baloney, you never have to throw it out. In other words, if it's in the fridge and you get a little film on it, well, you just fry it and it still tastes good.
I've heard that one, too.
I'm telling you, I can't tell you whether the guy can coach. All I know is on Sunday he's probably going to show up in his brown UPS uniform with his hand truck and his Poland Springs water and his stupid-ass mirror sunglasses. I have no clue. So I'm just telling you, I will wait and see what the game looks like to know what kind of coach he is or whatever he is. If you're asking me if he's smart, I'm telling you no. I just don't believe he's an asshat because he hasn't watched a Super Bowl from 2007.
But when you make a point of something, and coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of it, when that first opportunity comes and you're not able to prevail on that opportunity, then you know what? Then we have to go back out there and go about our business again, maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency is the word I'm looking for. A greater sense of urgency.
Oh, that's a good cut. That's a good cut. I'll give you that one.
You can hear the disgust in the reporter's voice. Urgency? Nope, Dar, I'll come up with it.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with
I'll
it.
Come
hold
up
on.
With it.
Hold on.
Just more of a urgency.
That's good.
He's a boob, but I love him.
That's good. I give you that one. That's good.
You're welcome. But just how exasperated he was after beating the Chargers by 3 points in October. Like, just again, that whole explanation. He's like, you know, I just used to coach the offensive line. It was five guys. And then I became an offensive coordinator, so it was 11. But now it's like, boy, hey, they, like, how much, yeah, look at all this I got to do. Look at all these calls and all these decisions. Like, boy, I need a bologna sandwich. The guy's a clown. You're not. This guy's the guys who've beaten you. And I know Rex is a clown, but he's a pretty good defensive mind. I mean, you do have to give him that. And when he had the talent, that was a pretty nasty defense. But it's like the guys that have beaten you, Harbaugh and Coughlin,
fellow hard asses.
Or what? But what they had, you know, it wasn't this. And I'm sorry to be so dismissive. I'm not going to go look at those Super Bowls. I only watch them if I'm in them. I'm like, well, what? You know, the Patriots lost those games and they got outsmarted and outplayed. Don't you want to see how they lost? And when he's asked the red zone thing, what can you tell us about the Patriots in the red zone? They rank high in the red zone. I'm not on that yet, guys. That's a Thursday thing. Get to me tomorrow. No shit.
What about him? What stands out to you about when you're sudden in them?
I'm not on red zone yet. I'm not. Say, yeah, come on, Thursday. Can you ask me that question Thursday?
He was asked yesterday about the Patriots in the red zone. He says, I'm not on it yet. What do you mean you're not on it yet? You know? He said, no, what? No. Nope, nope, nope.
I'm not on red zone yet.
Unless
I'm not. Say, yeah, come on, Thursday. Can you ask me that question Thursday?
Unless Coughlin is literally coming out and coaching the team this week, I don't. It's just not happening, which is why, again, Brady, sprained thumb, broken thumb, no thumb, amputated hand, they're winning this week.
I don't know if I'd call him exasperated, though. I'd use the word, I don't know. Hold on, let me think of it. I'd use the word...
Flustered?
Exasperated is what I would use. I'd use the word exasperated. He is a clown. There's no two ways about that.
Maybe with greater desire, greater sense of I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word.
No, that's not it.
Hold on. I'll come up with it.
Give me a second. Hold on. Just
more of a urgency.
Urgency. Yeah, I got it.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is I've met both Tom and Jimmy in a public place at a grocery store, and both of them were very nice and sweet. And to me, Jimmy is the young version of when Tommy first came to Foxborough.
And that's that.
And also, I think the game is going to be, it's probably going to be a tight scoring game.
Okay, Janet, I don't think so. Even if Brady's hurt, I don't think so.
See, I'm with Janet. I think Garoppolo is a young Brady. That's what I think he is.
We have a little bit of a ladies' hour here. Mary's in Marshfield. Hi, Mary.
So let's train
him. Hey, guys, how are you? I just stopped laughing from that last segment. You mean to tell me this guy has never watched a Super Bowl then? Because has he ever been in one?
Nope.
So if he's never been in one, then he's never watched one, please. But as far as the Paul Pierce thing, you guys are giving them way too much credit. They're not housewives. It's like Mean Girls. Oh, did you see what he said and what she said? It's ridiculous. So, Paul, I love this kid. He grew up here. He gave us the best years of his life, but he needed to rise above this. I agree with Felger. You know, he's way above that. And as far as Claude, why is it okay to appreciate what he did, but also realize it was over? It was done. And that's my thought on Claude.
Yeah, so that's
Thanks,
really the part of it, right? So you don't take away the championship with Claude. And I was wrong about him, you know, during those years. He, you know, led the team to a place I didn't think they could get to and he could get to. But it was clearly time. And the way that everyone hung on was a little ridiculous. A lot ridiculous. And it's just been proven. I mean, everything's changed since the coaching change. Everything has changed. And it's flipped. Montreal is now you. It feels like a slow, plotting team that doesn't show up on big nights and has played its way out of it, and Claude's questioning the players' effort, and like it all flipped on the coaching change, and you are now younger, fresher, faster, hungrier. You take fewer nights off. You know, if Claude were still here, you know, McAvoy wouldn't be playing the way he's playing or as much as he's playing. The goalie change never would have happened that saved the season in November. Like it all started with the coaching change. And you know, I just think last night really drove it home. Because that Montreal team, what a no-show. Laura in Franklin, our ladies' hour continues. Hi, Laura.
Hi, fellas. How are you? I would like to thank you for the urgency in which you took my call.
Yeah,
today.
You're welcome.
I love you guys to listen all the time. And Doug Marone is a dingus. I'm on Murray's side about this, you know, superstition, nervousness. Roethlisberger with that late hit from the Jags defense last week and the chirping afterwards, and they're a really filthy team. They're dirty players, I think. The injuries on the Pats, I think that the Jags really are playing because they have nothing to lose and they're just a little bit classless.
So, Laura, you're saying they're going to target Brady's hand. Aren't they going after him anyway?
Of course. They're going to do whatever they have to do. And I'm with Murray where I'm a nervous watcher anyway. I'm very superstitious. I'll be in the kitchen cooking while my husband's screaming at the TV. Which is fine, and I'm in there with it, but I'm on Murray's side on this. I love you guys, and I love whoever loves Pearl Jam because I'm a diehard Pearl Jam fan. Murray, I love you so much, and just keep being so funny. I'll let you guys go. Thank you so much.
A lot of love there. Yeah, this thing about, you know, them going after his hand, they're going after him anyway.
Yeah, hand or not, my biggest concern is their ability to get a rush without blitzing. And time, and this is from an ESPN article that posted today about how they have the Jaguars have the recipe to disrupt Tom Brady. So the Jaguars recorded the lowest blitz rate in the NFL, 18%, according to ESPN stats and info. Yeah, they lie. But they still finished second in sacks with 55. If a team can pressure with only four rushers, dropping seven into coverage, its chances of beating Brady increase exponentially. You can look it up. Brady has only lost three postseason games in Foxborough, two to the Baltimore Ravens, one to the Jets. Those teams blitzed only 18% of the time.
Yeah, the Jets never came in that game.
No, they did. They rushed up three or four max. A lot of times it was three in that game.
Right.
The Jags have the same ability. That's what concerns me about this game.
Yeah, the problem is I don't know if they can cover in the middle of the field like some of those other teams did. That's all. I think that's a problem, Murray. I do. Like, it doesn't feel, it feels to me
with
like...
With the linebackers, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Or,
and Posluszny's a stiff, but Miles Jack is a damn good player.
I think their coverage strength is on the outside. And unless they do something there with their cornerbacks and use them differently, I just don't... I think the Patriots are going to exploit it.
So again, and you know, Maz, Perillo, everyone's pointed out a million times. Let's say Jacksonville does the job defensively, right? The lowest point total the Patriots have had this year is 19. So can Jacksonville hold them to the lowest point total they've had all season long? Let's just say they match it. Let's say they hold the pass to 19 points. How does Jacksonville get to 20?
Only if the Patriots turn it over deep in their own territory.
You've got it.
You've
got to
give them points.
You have to give them points. Defensive / special team scores. I think.
I just don't think that they're going to be able to, you know, run the ball all day, jam it down your throat. I think the Patriots will take that away. And then it's going to be up to Blake Bortles to make some throws into smaller windows than he saw last week. They might not be the smallest windows in league history, because I question this defense, too. I don't think this is a great defense. In fact, I don't think it's even close to a great Patriots team.
I'm with you on that.
But I just don't think that Blake Bortles is the guy who's going to get it done. At the end of the day, to me, it comes down to him, and I don't think he's good enough.
But if he can repeat the game that he had last Sunday, and I get it, the Pittsburgh defense was brutal, and he had giant cushions on those receivers and even the tight end that he was throwing to. But if he can repeat like that and not make any mistakes, I think you're in for a game. And now, how about they utilize their backs? Obviously, the Patriots are going to do that, and it's almost impossible to cover, whether it's White or Lewis coming out of the backfield. Well, if it's Yeldon and Fournette, do you trust the Patriots linebackers?
Against Fournette? Yes, 100%.
Well, Yeldon's a different story.
So Yeldon,
know.
No. Yeah, those little running backs who can catch, and they're hard covers for any linebacker. I give the running back the edge in all those matchups across the league. Fournette, not going to be a problem. Not going to be an issue. Sorry.
And I think Yeldon, if I saw this right, I just read it a minute ago. I think Yeldon got more targets on third down than any back in the league.
Yeah, he concerned. That would be a legit concern. No doubt about it. Against any team. It's, you know... I love those little running backs that have that role. Fournette, please, Murray.
Cover him with a DB.
Murray is panicked. He's panicked about Brady. More on this right after these words. It's a long commercial-free segment.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal to your ears.
Blood force drum!
We're going to run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is this a big deal?
Yes, it's a big deal. This is the biggest story in sports right now. You mean to tell me the greatest quarterback of all time, on the greatest franchise of all time, playing for the greatest coach of all time.
Oh, sorry.
Playing at a higher level than anyone his age has ever played at. That guy is going into a championship game against the best defense by far he will have faced all season. And he has an injury to his throwing hand? Is that a big deal? Am I hearing this right? Of course it's a big deal. One of the advantages the Patriots have against the Jaguars, tactically, right? At least this is an advantage, is the accuracy of their quarterback. He's an accurate quarterback. His throwing hand is compromised? Of course, this is a big deal.
Big Jim Worry, that's a great nickname.
It is, it's excellent. It's
you good. Need a t-shirt of that.
Only if it does is worry. Where's your heart?
Big Jim Worry agrees with Max Kellerman there. Here was Big Jim Worry's email to us this morning. So you're going to have to talk me off the ledge today, fellas. And then he uses his Boston voice there. Yeah, Big Jim Worry.
Yeah.
Why you such a freaking Sally kid?
Where's your heart, Sally?
He writes, except he didn't say Sally. He said, I'm beyond... Yeah, it was a different word.
That's right.
He said, I'm beyond concerned about Brady's hand injury. And that's been further exacerbated by Zoe's concern about it when he was talking about it with Beetle this morning.
Got even worse as that show went on.
First of all, welcome back, Beetle. Glad you're okay.
Absolutely.
Two, Zoe believes it's real and that it's serious. So just FYI, Zoe is he thinks it's a real injury, it's a serious injury, and he's concerned.
Yeah, and that's... I think that's putting it lightly. Zoe went from concerned to, I think, legitimately freaked out by the end of the show, and I use him as my barometer here.
So, as Murray says, as Zoe goes on this, so goes Murray. So, Murray writes, or Worry writes, that hand injury, plus this Jags pass rush, plus unreliable a-hole receivers like Brandon Cooks, plus the looming gargoyle that is Tom Coughlin, equals strong concern for an upset. Oh, there's something else I don't like since yesterday, and that's that stupid 538 story. And I'll add 538 parenthetically here, 538.com. Scientifically said that the Patriots have the easiest road to the Super Bowl in NFL history. or at least since they went to the current playoff format in 1990. So over the last 27 years, no one has had an easier road to the Super Bowl than the Patriots. That's according to 538.com. He says, sure, it gives ammo to vampires who think it's a quadruple bye, like you. But all it reminds me of is November 2016, when these know-it-all, annoying nerds, declared the election and handed it to Hillary. Again, 538 did say there was an 80% likelihood that Hillary would win the election. A-holes, writes Murray. Like, I'm supposed to take these analytical nerds seriously. Eat crap, nerds. I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
And I don't. In a DNP today, no one's actually seen him throw. He's wearing this glove. It looks like the thumb has been immobilized. You have the photo behind you here for the viewers on NBC Sports Boston, where he's talking to Brian Hoyer, and he's saying, oh, Hoyer, you know, I might not be able to throw with this, Bri. You're going to have to start, and boy, you suck. We're screwed. That's what I hear when I look at that photo.
Looks like more free pub for Under Armour for me. That's what it looks like.
What do you think, Mass?
I don't think it matters. I don't doubt that something happened. Oh, I told you. He probably jammed his thumb. So they put a splint on it, keep it immobilized, don't move it around, don't make it worse, tape it up, but you'll be fine on Sunday because we're going to shoot it to the moon, and by then it will have healed a little, and even if it hasn't, it doesn't matter. We'll call the plays that we can to mitigate the injury. They can't score on us. We'll win 23-10. End of story. They should be able to beat this team even if he does have a banged-up thumb. If Drew Bledsoe can beat a team with a pin in his finger, then Brady can win a game with a banged-up thumb. I know that for a fact.
Over a guy who won't watch Red Zone film until Thursday and won't go back and watch previous Patriots losses. I'll just add parenthetically, I'm with Maz over Murray. I think the injury's real. I guess it is. It might not be, but I'm going to assume that it is. But it's immaterial. They're still good enough to beat this team. They're good enough to beat this team with Brian Hoyer.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
So we can disagree on that. I think they'd win with Hoyer quarterback.
I think Hoyer sucks.
I do too. I think they'd coach him up. He'd throw screen passes, little swings, little slip screens. They'd run. They would just figure it out. It's the same thing. Jacksonville's going to score 10 points. So I think Hoyer can get you to 17. And I think Brady, even with a broken thumb, amputated hand, can get you to 24. And I still think this is their game, no matter who the quarterback is or what the quarterback looks like.
Brian Hoyer, if he takes snaps. This is a dry month for me. If Brian Hoyer is under center, I'm drinking. I'm telling you right now. Even if it's a work day for me, I'm going to have to.
It'll never come to that. It'll never come to it. Hoyer's never going to smell the field.
Right.
I mean, he'll smell it from the sideline, but that's about it.
I agree. Brady's playing. He's not even coming out. And to the point where the headline on Monday morning will be what you expect, which is this is the run you're on, and this is still the place you're at, which is Brady v. time, Brady wins again. Brady v. injury, 40-year-old Brady, broken hand and all, throws for 300 yards, goes to his 8th Super Bowl. Yep. That's what you're going to get, Murray.
That's the best-case scenario, and I hope that's how it plays out. You know what the worst-case scenario is, though, right?
Yes. Tell me again the worst-case scenario, please.
Brady, inaccurate, hurt thumb, broken thumb, has to come out of game. Brian Hoyer comes in, 4 interceptions. Patriots, unfathomable loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. And then the Shaughnessy piece about trading away Jimmy Garoppolo too early. And Belichick was upset about that. And Belichick, of course, is going to steam on the sideline. I got to go to Brian Hoyer. Imagine if I still had my guy here, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I was forced to trade. So Bill takes that anger into the offseason and decides, I'm out. Bye. And it all ends ugly. Because this whole story that's been going on the last couple of months with Brady and Belichick and Kraft, I believe it's true. We've heard about it, obviously, so it is true. I'm going with that as true, okay? So this is where it really bubbles at its worst. The worst possible loss to the goofiest possible team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is how it ends. All things in life, when they end ugly. That's the ugliest possible way. You lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ugh. And Blake Bortles. Ugh. And baloney boy Doug Marrone at home. At home to prevent another trip to the Super Bowl. And it's because Brady was hurt and he didn't have a reliable backup. And Bill says, you know what? Middle fingers in the air. I'm out. That's the ugliest possible scenario. And I think it's on the table.
So I don't think Brady's coming off the field. And you know how I feel about the Garoppolo situation. I mean, that whole
thing. But what if he's a complete disaster because of the injured thumb?
Hold on, I'm not done yet. The whole thing's about the long term, not the short term with Garoppolo. However, Murray, if it ever happened that way, oh, my God, would that be comical. After you trade away Garoppolo for nothing, you shouldn't have traded him at all, let alone now or later. The bottom line is they shouldn't have traded him at all.
Now, that's a very dark scenario. That's just my nature. I've always been this way. But
that's pretty dark.
If it did play out this way, I just want to show you. This is what the future would look like at the Maserati and Felger household, if this is how it played out.
Whee!
Yeah! Whee!
Oh, all the meat on that bone. Oh, we're going to talk about this forever. And that's how that and that would be insult to injury, too.
Murray, I hate to burst your balloon, pal. I'm talking about it forever, no matter what.
Well, I know you are. You're going to be upset about Garoppolo forever.
Trading that guy was a mistake, Murray.
But even
I
would feel like, look, while I don't think Garoppolo is ultimately going to be the next guy, he's certainly a hell of a lot more reliable than Brian Hoyer.
Right, so this is sort of a separate argument, whether you're worth, whether you think Garoppolo should have been the long-term guy or not, or if you got enough for him or not. That's sort of a side piece to what's now, I think, legitimately back on the table to discuss, because Brady's banged up. Why'd you have to deal him then? If all you were getting was a second-round pick, why don't you just wait for the end of the year, trade him under the tag, and get another second-round pick? You would have gotten a second-round pick if you trade him under the tag. You got one for Castle. You'd get one for this guy. So why did you... It was for nothing. For nothing, you traded him away a half season of insurance. That to me is a legit second guess no matter what happens here.
Oh, but you had to keep Tom happy, Mike. You had to keep Tommy happy. Tommy was upset. Tommy's trainer got kicked out of the building and he couldn't, you know, train or work with the other guys. And Tommy didn't want Jimmy around anymore. So Tommy told his dad to kick Jimmy out of the house.
So
that's what it is.
That's where we're at. Your reaction, I promise. Your calls right after Murray's update. 90 quick seconds, no commercials. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.